Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 609 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, I did check to see if we had information about the practice schedule for the Blues and Blue Angels Air Show info, which is an extremely reliable Facebook page. I think largely made up of former Blues. And anyway, they say no practices or performances until the shutdown is over. So that's a quick update on that. Let's see. What else do we have? The Escambia School Board wins the Entangle Makes Three lawsuit. Remember, they eliminated that book from being available at the schools, and they got sued over that because the suit said that it was violating the publisher's First Amendment rights or the student's First Amendment rights. And a federal judge now says, yeah, no. News Service of Florida doing a really good article about this. Chief U.S. District Judge Alan Windsor, 18-page ruling this week, said, the First Amendment arguments are incorrect. The book's authors, Pete Parnell, Justin Richardson, and another plaintiff, a student identified as BG. He says the government does not create a forum for others' speech by purchasing books for a public library. The author plaintiffs have no First Amendment right to speak through the library, and the student, BG, has no First Amendment right to receive the author plaintiff's message through the library. Nor do the author plaintiffs have a First Amendment right to demand the library ignore the book's viewpoint when determining whether to include it in its collection. He added the ruling does not, of course, keep the book or any viewpoint in it from BG or any other student. The Escambia County School Board has simply decided students wanting this particular book will have to get it elsewhere, which you would have thought would have been obvious from the beginning that a school board has the ability to pick and choose books. But, you know, because they picked a book that is, pro-gay, right? It's a book about two penguin dads raising a kid. That's the book. I've read it. It's short. It's actually own a copy because I thought, oh, look at what I can get for 10 cents at book sale or wherever. You should always read the things you talk about. You shouldn't talk about things unless you've exposed them, yourself to them a little bit. So I did. And they banned it, and I don't have a problem with them banning it. And certainly they have the authority to do so, which it took all the way to a federal judge to decide this. He wrote, there's no view of the facts that could support plaintiff's claim that the board engaged in unconstitutional viewpoint discrimination or otherwise violated the First Amendment with respect to Tango. So, one would guess that there's going to be an appeal, because there's always an appeal because nobody ever takes no for an answer. On that note, there's a weird story in the last day about a ruling by a judge in appeals court that marijuana smell alone is not probable cause to do a car search. This to me is a weird story, and I'll tell you why in a second. Federal appeals court said that because of the now medical legalization of marijuana in Florida, your car might reek of medical marijuana just as much as it might reek of illegal marijuana. Therefore, the smell of marijuana is not enough justification to search your car. Which is true. That's correct. What I thought was weird is why do we have a Florida Court of Appeals telling us this, since literally every local law enforcement agent that I talked to in 2016 said that this was their practice? Escambia County Sheriff, Santa Rosa County Sheriff, PPD. When this ruling came down, or when this law change came about that we allowed medical marijuana, they all said the exact same thing. Because I asked them, I said, we'd been talking about it. Does this mean that drug dogs, when they alert on a car based on them being taught to alert on marijuana, that alert will no longer count as probable cause? And they all said, yeah, because we won't be able to distinguish illegal from legal drug use inside the car. And as a result, all of the local law enforcement agencies had to basically retire all of their drug dogs because they had been trained to alert on everything, and now marijuana was no longer something that could justify a search. So they had to train a bunch of new dogs to not alert on marijuana. Which, by the way, the marijuana smell that comes out of some cars, you might as well be a factory. Like, you might as well be the place where they sell it, right? Anyway, I'm surprised by this story because it seems like a bit of a moot issue. And I mean, there's talk of an appeal. I'm like, how can you appeal something that everybody understands is already the practice? It's weird. It struck me as an odd kind of story, and so that's why I mentioned it to you. Meanwhile, Sean Diddy Combs says he's real sorry. Meanwhile, pursuing a defense that says he wasn't real sorry. He didn't really do it, and it wasn't as bad as you think. Now that he's been convicted, he's real sorry. He's broken to his core. He's been reborn. He's asking for mercy. Let me give you my two-second answer on this. You ready? Okay. Somebody who's genuinely repentant and reborn sincerely doesn't ask for mercy. What they say is, you know what, I deserve whatever you give me. I'm so sorry. See how that works? Like the pretend reborn person is like, I've changed. Have mercy. The actual reborn person is like, oh no, I did it. I'm so sorry. Yeah, give me whatever I deserve. So just a thought about how to discern real from fake repentance. Let's see. John Pickett. Oh, why is Brother Andrew so positive on Google? Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Interesting. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 29, 98 are all looking good. I'm not seeing any delays this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim & Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim & Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Pete Hegseth, the United States Secretary of Peace, for his ridiculous and abusive efforts to use the military to bully, intimidate, and discriminate against people who just want to serve in the military on their terms instead of his. Before I elaborate, a word about words. As you all know, President Absolutely No Way Will We Say His Name recently returned the Department of Defense to its original pre-World War II name, the Department of War. That means Hegseth is officially the Secretary of War, and of course we fully believe in the right of a government agency to identify as anything it wants to identify as. And we certainly don't want to be guilty of dead-naming the Pentagon as the Department of Defense anymore, or by using the wrong military-industrial pronouns for the department. However, having long been trained on all the wise and sacred writings of St. George Orwell, we believe that the proper name of this entity, as instructed by the novel 1984, a book which poignantly and perfectly envisions a true future governed by the holy principles of doublethink, doublespeak, and the practice of making unacceptable terminology double plus ungood, should in fact be the Department of Peace. Since the aim of the Department of Peace, or DOP, is to prevent war, not start it, Why shouldn't it be named for the thing it's trying to achieve rather than for the thing it's trying to avoid? We did briefly consider perhaps calling it the Department of Deterrence or the Department of Equality or the Department of Helping People and Fixing Things, but none of these quite encapsulated the contradictions and aspirations so essential to this organization. And in an effort to encourage that man who currently lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to adopt an even wokier rebrand, we will simply refer to Hegseth as the Secretary of Peace. That being said, the reasons for his cancellation are abundantly clear. In the last few days, Secpeth Hegseth has reversed decades of work making the DOP an agency of inclusion, equity, and diversity, truly the vanguard of every form of social engineering we believe in. First, he says that the only thing that matters is standards, by which he means merit, that most blasphemous of words.
We must restore a ruthless, dispassionate, and common-sense application of standards.
This is pure heresy. Enough alone to justify cancellation. Second, he said that people's feelings are no longer to be considered.
The era of politically correct, overly sensitive, don't hurt anyone's feelings leadership ends right now.
But how can any government entity deny the only thing that matters in this world, the hurts, the wounds, and the offenses taken by the feelings of the snowflakiest of snowflakes? Third, he actively said that all genders would be held to a single inflexible standard.
Service will ensure that every requirement for every combat MOS, for every designated combat arms position, returns to the highest male standard only.
Obviously, this is completely unacceptable. Under no circumstances should women be forced to compete against men in a physical contest or test. Unless, of course, the men they're competing against are transgender women, in which case it's fine. Also, even though women can't do anything men can do, or better, it's obviously unfair to actually put this claim to the test with objective physical measurements that are only designed to reinforce the bigoted belief that men are somehow physically stronger, faster, and more agile than women. Women are physically superior to men, and we prove this best by refusing to prove it. Fourth, and perhaps most hurtful of all, he says that every single member of the military will be held to high physical standards of weight and height, and in such an unnecessarily mean way.
It's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon.
Such body negativity and fat shaming must not stand. It's also overwhelmingly ableist for him to require everyone to engage in hard physical training every day. Such an unashamed display of discrimination and non-inclusiveness. And he even had the audacity to require traditional grooming standards for all military members.
No more beardos. The era of rampant and ridiculous shaving profiles is done.
But how can the free-thinking individuals who want to express their personal follicle styles possibly find self-expressive fulfillment on the battlefield if they can't wear the handlebar of merit, or the sideburns of valor, or the Fu Manchu of distinction, or the goatee of liberty, or the simple yet effective neckbeard of honor? It's as if lethality and lethality alone has become the only thing the chief of the military cares about. He even singled out the practice of promoting people based on them being the first of their gender or their race or their sexual orientation to positions of leadership, as if the purpose of leadership were competence and winning rather than symbolism and making people feel seen. You see, for decades, we have been eroding the essence of the military, using it primarily as a tool of social engineering to advance and disseminate our values, and now suddenly, Mr. Hegseth has ruined everything, telling the American people the preposterous notion that the purpose of the Peace Department is to discourage wars through strength and to win them through overwhelming competence in the art of violence. If someone wants to serve in the military, Mr. Secpeth, who are you to say they are ineligible or unentitled? It's not your place to practice such hurtful discrimination by putting these triggering restrictions on who you want pulling triggers for this nation. Don't you know it's the unalienable right of every bearded, transgender, plus-size, alternatively qualified person to serve without distinction in their military? And for taking away this basic civil right, we excommunicate thee, Pete Hegseth. Secretary of Peace? Maybe Secretary of Meanness is more like it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to take some time to sincerely praise the work of the Kraft Heinz Company for its decision to temporarily rebrand Maxwell House Coffee as Maxwell Apartments Coffee. Noting in its press release that one-third of Americans rent rather than owning a home, Kraft Heinz said it's trying to give Americans an option to save money in difficult economic times by offering them a chance to purchase a year's worth of coffee for just $40, what they're calling a 12-month coffee lease, designed to save purchasers more than $1,000 this year compared to buying coffee at retail establishments every day. Such savings may not be enough alone to buy a home, but it sure is a nice start. But of course, we applaud the rebrand itself for the obvious effort to be inclusive and stop perpetuating the highly stigmatizing language of domicile discrimination. At first, it seems so strange to say Maxwell Apartment, but that's just because our so-called American dream has actively promoted the wasteful extravagance of the single-family detached lifestyle for so long that the prejudice is embedded right in the name of our coffee beans. Maxwell Apartment reminds us that multifamily housing is every bit as decent, honest, and desirable as owning a house. In fact, the insulting bigotry of the home ownership prejudice is reinforced at every level of our language, and Maxwell Apartment has finally decided to stop being the Archie Bunker of brewed beverages. So we celebrate the recognition of domicile diversity, and we cherish the roasting out of the segregation and grinding away at the home builder industrial bias. However, we do have some suggestions for how this can be done even better going forward. Although Maxwell Apartment is a good first step toward equity and inclusion, it still carries the pungent aroma of judgment and discrimination, since so many people live neither in houses nor in apartments, and what of their need to feel smelled? Why not rebrand as Maxwell Duplex? Are duplex owners not coffee drinkers too? What about Maxwell Condominium? Should only those who rent multifamily housing count? Perhaps they should rebrand as Maxwell Mobile Homes, or more poignantly, Maxwell Trailer Park, expanding inclusivity to both mobile homes and sedentary RVs. But why should traditional studs and drywall construction be so preferenced? Are the residents of Maxwell Tent City not coffee drinkers too? Is there some reason the inhabitants of Maxwell Shanty can't enjoy some hot coffee as an early morning pick-me-up? Should the collectivist feel left out, or should Maxwell Commune not also be an available variety, although probably not for sale, obviously? Although Maxwell Homeless or Maxwell Alternately Housed may be a little clunky to say, perhaps the best revision would be a complete reversal of the 133 years of linguistic bigotry of the current brand, simply going with Maxwell Unhoused, to include everyone not already included in one of the other labels. Should the car dweller, the shelter dweller, the street sleeper, or the forest denizen not also feel they are welcome to enjoy a cup of mediocre coffee like everyone else? Here's an idea. If they really wanted to do something special, the cans could come with a customizable label set so that each purchaser could express their personal residency status with the same sort of bland flavor Maxwell House Coffee has always been known for. And when all the varieties have been tried, perhaps the best end state would be something non-committal and unifying, such as Maxwell Dwelling, or Maxwell Habitat, or perhaps Maxwell Abode. So yes, we applaud this first step Maxwell Apartment, but we see many more renovations to come for you. And while we're on the subject, perhaps other coffee brands could take a note from Kraft Heinz. Surely Starbucks is a little dollar-centric. Perhaps Star Pesos in Mexico, or Star Euros in Germany, or Star Rupees in India, or just a more generic Star Money or Star Currency for more universal appeal. Perhaps also Nescafe, which suddenly seems very marginalizing to people who operate alternate restaurant styles. So Nes Food Truck, Nes Diner, Nes Banquet Hall, Nes Farmer's Market, and yes, Nes Soup Kitchen would really increase the diversity of this brand's appeal. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Now, I know I promised you a Google one. It was just too long. I had to cut it short. You'll have to wait till next week. And oh, trust me.
Oh, boy.
You'll like that one. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Oh, goodness. Sec P. I like that.
Sec P.
Yeah, I like that.
Sec piece?
Kind of, yeah.
Sec Pete? Sec like, piece? It kind of works both ways.
Yeah, it does. All right, no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good even through those construction zones. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Day three of the government shutdown. President Trump promising federal layoffs are coming. He said he'd use the shutdown to decide which agencies to close. New poll out saying half of Americans now believe that groceries are becoming harder to afford compared to 1 year ago, according to a new Harris Axios Vibes poll. The 47.
I feel like all those words cannot be said in one sentence and mean anything.
I've never heard of this particular polling.
Axios Vibes poll. Yeah. All right, go on. Here we are.
But 47% of respondents said that groceries are harder to afford compared to 34% that said, yeah, about the same, and 19% who said it's easier to afford groceries. I'm not sure.
What?
I'm not sure who those 19%
are. That's a majority. 53%. That's 34 and 19 is a majority of people say that groceries are either the same price or easier to afford, to which I think, have you actually bought groceries in the last year? Because, good Lord, they're not. Anyway, go ahead, David.
A judge rejecting an asylum request from Kilmar Abrego Garcia. The judge ruled this week that he cannot be granted asylum in the U.S. He was deported to El Salvador earlier this year in what the Trump administration said initially was a mistake and brought back to face human smuggling charges.
Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. 629 here on News Radio 93. The fallout from the Cracker Barrel failed rebrand. They have now severed ways with Profit, the company that was running the rebrand that came to them with it. So,
interesting.
Yeah, they're not really all that surprising, but there you go. That's your news on that front. Opening night for the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra comes up this weekend, tomorrow night, and I have two tickets for you to go. This is a big deal, so if you want to go to the Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at the Sanger Theater, you can win two tickets to go right now. 437-1620. Caller number three. Give us a call. Win. Talk to John. Tell him you love him. You love the show, and enjoy the symphony tomorrow night.
Foster. The Senate's expected to vote again today on a short-term bill to end a partial government shutdown in its third day now.
Today's vote would be the fourth one on the clean short-term funding bill. Senate Majority Leader John Thune indicated he does not plan to keep the Senate over the weekend if they can't advance the bill today. The chances of it passing are slim. Still, Republicans are hoping some Democrats will fold.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Police in Manchester, England says one of two people killed in an attack at a synagogue yesterday was killed accidentally by an officer's bullet.
A man rammed a car into worshipers outside, then got out and stabbed more with a knife. He tried to get inside the synagogue, but the door was barricaded. Police shot the suspect dead, wearing an apparent explosive belt officials say was not viable.
Fox's Greg Palcott, one of the people wounded, was also shot by police accidentally. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 68 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. The state's chief financial officer, Blaise Ingolia, accusing Pensacola of overtaxing residents by more than $1 million, criticizing the city's spending on projects like nearly $600,000 on a Welcome to Pensacola sign. However, city budget documents show most of the funding for that came from state and federal sources. Additional expenditures, including $300,000 for an equity-based strategic plan and $285,000 for the Sanger Theater, have also drawn scrutiny from the state DOGE office. Well, the city says those projects were part of a broader community engagement efforts, and also say they've profited over $1 million from the Sanger in recent years. City officials say they have not received the official report from the state, which is expected to take up to 60 days to complete. Now, the government shutdown has now halted the Blue Angels tour season. They are back at NAS Pensacola from the West Coast, where they were scheduled for an appearance at the weekend's California International Air Show. Other events like Fleet Week in San Francisco are also on standby, with the organizers hoping that the government reopens in time for the Blue Angels to participate. Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas is set to pull out of Port Miami today after arriving with nearly 100 people that suffered from norovirus.
I started feeling really funny in my stomach, and it only lasted like, I don't know, 36 to 48 hours.
While the sick were asked to stay in their rooms, other passengers said the only difference they noticed was sanitation protocols had been increased. That 13-day cruise began September 19th in San Diego. Gulf Winds Credit Union is teaming up with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity for their Women Build event, which they contributed $20,000 to, and also some hands-on volunteer work to help build a new home for a family in need. The initiative included the Written in the Walls project, where pink framing boards were placed in Gulf Winds lobbies for community members to sign with messages of encouragement. On build day, those messages were incorporated into the home's foundation. The UWF Haas Center has received a three-year, $400,000 NSF grant to establish an Office of Industrial Innovation. That'll serve as a single contact point for companies and civic groups, expand research roles for students, and develop matching and contracting workflows. As the grant period begins, they've also received a $1.5 million grant from the Department of Education to expand their Summer Institute for Civic Educators. That will allow the university to transform the Summer Institute into the Academy of American Civic Republicanism, giving K through 12 teachers, university students, and members of the community a chance to receive a better civic education. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's check in with John and get an update on our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. Highway 29, 98, and Highway 90 not seeing any delays so far this morning. Good job on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Temperatures are going to warm up today near 82 degrees with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with the winds coming out of the east-northeast at 15 to 20 miles an hour. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Keeping the windy weather around on Saturday, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 82. Winds still out of the east-northeast at about 20 miles an hour. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 68, partly cloudy. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are moderately higher on oversupply concerns. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $60.81 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $64.44 per barrel. Treasury yields inched higher this morning as the government shutdown reached its third day and investors weighed the potential impact on the U.S. economy. The 10-year Treasury yield was up over one basis point to 4.1%, while the 2-year Treasury yield was little changed at 3.5%. The Energy Department's cancellation of more than 300 funding awards slammed the brakes on efforts to reduce carbon emissions, air and water pollution, and strengthen electrical grids. The cancellation of nearly $8 billion in funding was announced on Wednesday, the first day of the federal government shutdown. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 78, the NASDAQ up 88, the S&P 500 up 4. Once again, futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You are invited to come out with a blanket or a lawn chair and sit back and relax and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Crosstown. They're going to be delivering a crowd-pleasing blend of classic rock, blues, and everything in between. It'll be something for everyone to enjoy. So bring your friends and feel the breeze and sing along at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. Cherokee Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Interesting sort of simmering on again, off again fight between Emma Watson, the actress who portrayed Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter movies, and J.K. Rowling, of course, the British writer who created the whole world and, you know, invented a landscape that has gotten more kids reading and, of course, gotten more people watching, and as the author behind the movies that made Emma Watson famous and, you know, Daniel Radcliffe and so many other people. The issue is that J.K. Rowling is not on board with the transgender concept. She is anti-trans. And that has gotten her a lot of criticism. She has been pretty outspoken about it, which, of course, is absolutely her right. Well, I mean, it would be if she were an American. In Britain, not so sure anymore all the time. But, you know, I would say it's a God-given right that the British government is not properly protecting these days, because I think those rights come from God, not from men. But anyway, Emma Watson, on the other hand, has been critical of her, and so has Daniel Radcliffe. But this kind of has brewed over or boiled over recently when Emma Watson was on a podcast just kind of talking about all of this stuff, and then J.K. Rowling has come back with a fairly lengthy post on X. We'll get to this in just a second, but it's a fascinating discussion piece for, again, free speech, how we should talk about people, who's authorized to talk about a subject, and to what degree one area of commonality serves as a reference point for whether you're the appropriate person even to be commenting on something. This is Emma Watson on the podcast.
Just as a young woman, for her to have written that character, created that world, given me an opportunity, there's just no world in which I could ever cancel her out or cancel that out for anything.
First of all, it's such a weird mindset to think that it's my choice, my power, my place to decide about canceling people. But once you've accepted that, man, the anguish. Who do I cancel now? Who do I not cancel now? Am I improperly canceling? You know, like, the whole mindset is so amazing to me. But you can just hear it in her voice. She wants to love J.K. Rowling. She wants to admire her and be grateful to her for having created her entire livelihood. Meanwhile, boy, just the things that she says about the trans people.
I just don't know what else to do other than hold these two seemingly incompatible things together at the same time and just hope maybe they will one day resolve.
You do recognize, though, that people might disagree with you about one thing and agree with you about another thing, or that people that you admire for one area of their lives are also people that you might not admire for other areas of their lives, or just that people you really have great respect for or benefited from are people that you might not completely agree with all the time, and that's okay. They don't always have to completely align with everything you believe. But look, when you've formed the view that your view on these matters is so defining as a human being that somebody else who disagrees with you or sees it differently, that we're not talking about matters of opinion, we're talking about matters of humanity. Everything is fever pitch level, and of course, the anguish. Man, this woman has meant everything to me, and now she's one of those evil, wicked, horrible, demonic anti-trans. I don't know how to bring these two together. Oh, no. maybe step back from your arrogance, right?
I think the thing I'm most upset about is that a conversation was never made possible.
So you remain open for that dialogue?
Yeah, and I always will.
I hope I can talk to her. Okay, there's more to this story, by the way. Part of it is the fact that she was really against J.K. Rowling saying things like, I'm with all the witches, when people were against her and at conventions and things. And then she wrote a note to J.K. Rowling. This is when J.K. Rowling was getting like death threats and rape threats and bomb threats, okay, for being anti-trans. And instead of defending her right to speak or her right to be of a certain opinion, you know, she attacked her and joined in the mob against her. And then she sends this private letter to her saying, you know, something quite nice. And I'm not going to give you the details, but I'll read it to you when I read you the post that J.K. Rowling wrote about this. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com. No accidents to report to you right now. Still looking at I-10, I-110, even through the construction zones, are moving freely along with Highway 90, Avalon Boulevard. Our normal hotspots are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So here's the actual, it's a little long, but I want to read it to you because, you know, she's a writer and she writes well, and it's important to understand all the nuance here. J.K. Rowling writes this on Twitter in response to all of the things that Emma Watson has been saying. She says, I'm seeing quite a bit of comment about this, so I want to make a couple of points. This is after the podcast. I'm not owed eternal agreement from any actor who once played a character I created. The idea is as ludicrous as me checking with the boss I had when I was 21 for what opinions I should hold these days. It's a great point. It's just not up to either one of them to define what the other believes. Emma Watson and her co-stars have every right to embrace gender identity ideology. Such beliefs are legally protected, and I wouldn't want to see any of them threatened with the loss of work or violence or death because of them. However, Emma and Daniel Radcliffe, in particular, have both made it clear over the last few years that they think our former professional association gives them a particular right, nay, obligation, to critique me and my views in public. Years after they finished acting in Potter, they continue to assume the role of de facto spokespeople for the world I created, which is also ridiculous. I mean, what would have been a nice thing is for, I'm saying this, you know, for either of the two actors or actually, you know, Emma and Daniel to just say, I mean, she's responsible for her views. Why are you asking me about her? That would have been kind of a nice thing to say. Anyway, went back to J.K. Rowling. When you've known people since they were 10 years old, it's hard to shake a certain protectiveness. Until quite recently, I hadn't managed to throw off the memory of children who needed to be gently coaxed through their dialogue in a big, scary film studio. For the past few years, I've repeatedly declined invitations from journalists to comment on Emma specifically, most notably on the witch trials of J.K. Rowling. Ironically, I told the producers that I didn't want to be her to be hounded as the result of anything I said. The television presenter in the attached clip highlights Emma's all witches speech, and in truth, that was a turning point for me. But it had a postscript that hurt far more than the speech itself. Emma asked someone to pass on a handwritten note from her to me, which contained the single sentence, "I'm so sorry for what you're going through." She has my phone number, as in she could have called instead of the note. This was back when the death, rape, and torture threats against me were at their peak, at a time when my personal security measures had had to be tightened considerably and I was constantly worried for my family's safety. Emma had just publicly poured more petrol on the flames, yet through a one-line expression of concern from her, thought a one-line expression of concern from her would reassure me of her fundamental sympathy and kindness. Like other people who've never experienced adult life uncushioned by wealth and fame, Emma has so little experience of real life, she's ignorant of how ignorant she is. She'll never need a homeless shelter. She's never going to be placed on a mixed-sex public hospital ward. I'd be astounded if she's been in a high street changing room since childhood. Her public bathroom is a single occupancy and comes with a security man standing guard outside the door. Has she had to strip off in a newly mixed-sex changing room at a council-run swimming pool? Is she ever likely to need a state-run rape crisis? These are all transgender-related access issues, right? Is she ever likely to need a state-run rape crisis center that refuses to guarantee an all-female service, to find herself sharing a prison cell with a male rapist who's identifying into the women's prison? I wasn't a multimillionaire at 14. I lived in poverty while writing the book that made Emma famous. I therefore understand from my own life experience what the trashing of women's rights in which Emma has so enthusiastically participated means to women and girls without her privileges. The greatest irony here is that had Emma not decided in her most recent interview to declare that she loves and treasures me, a change of tack I suppose she's adopted because she's noticed full-throated condemnation of me is no longer quite as fashionable as it was, I might never have been this honest. Adults can't expect to cozy up to an activist movement that regularly calls for a friend's assassination. That's the pro-trans movement. And then assert their right to the not all, but, you know, many. Then assert their right to the former friend's love as though the friend was in fact their mother. Emma is rightly free to disagree with me and indeed to discuss her feelings about me in public, but I have the same right and I finally decided to exercise it. You can't endorse horrible things or be quiet about horrible things. You know, this would be akin to sort of siding with the people who called for or celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination in public and then writing a note privately to Erica saying, I'm so sorry for what you're going through right now. You can't have it both ways. But when you're driven by emotion and there's one part of you that wants to be decent and one part of you that is completely confused about what decency is, of course you're going to produce contradiction and silliness. And I actually agree with JK's basic take. You know, she's not mature enough to understand how little she knows, even though she's an adult. And, you know, honestly, that's bad, but it's also normal. I mean, kids are dumb. You know, adults are dumb. But a lot of young kids do naive and ideological things and say things that are contradictory. And it really is up to the rest of us as adults to try to explain, you know, hey, this, you might want to reconsider this one a little bit. 650 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you need a new roof, Quality Roofing Solutions is there to help you with that. Or if you just wonder if you need one. You know, there might be a problem or you might be concerned that there's a problem. Maybe you've observed a leak. I don't know. Maybe you're concerned that there's rot or you've seen something or you were up on the roof and you saw. I don't know, whatever the issue is. But the point is, give Quality Roofing Solutions a call and they'll come look at it. And they'll tell you, okay, this is a, you can repair this. Or, you know what, this really, you're going to need to replace this. About 90% of what they do is replacement. About 10% is repair. Part of the reason Brian Ward says for mostly doing replacements is because, number one, if it's in need of repair, it's probably honestly in need of replacement. Plus, the cost of doing repair now and a replacement in 2 years is kind of like a waste of money, and the cost is going to go up. Plus, you probably will get insurance benefits from putting on a new roof. But in any case, you know, they'll help you figure that out. He's been around since 2006. Brian Ward, like I said, started this company, and their idea was, let's just do it right. Let's be reliable. Let's do good quality service and be the people that, you know, other people can trust, especially when catastrophe has hit and they need a storm, like, or they need a roof, like after a storm. They do all kinds of local service stuff, Arc Gateway, youth sport, lots of youth sports, even financial literacy education, Dave Ramsey stuff in Santa Rosa County. They did that for a while. They do photos before, during, and after, so you have a digital archive if you happen to need evidence of, you know, what has been done. And they have a 4.9 rating on Google for 10,000 roof replacement, which is pretty amazing. So if you just want to get a good opinion, you want to, you know, I mean, when I was asked, I was talking to my wife before I took them on as an advertiser, because, you know, I always have the choice, right? You know, I don't have to endorse people. And, you know, the salesperson said, you know, would you consider? And I asked my wife, I said, do you know anything about them? And she said, I swear every time Nextdoor puts up a post on, you know, who are some good local roofers, their name is always on this list. So there you go. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at Pinair.org/auto-refi. That's Pinair.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PINAIR for complete details.
Florida State and Miami will square off in a classic college football showdown Saturday night in Tallahassee on the Seminole Sports Network, presented by Wolfson Children's Hospital.
Tomorrow, it's the Florida State Seminoles versus the Miami Hurricanes. Pre-game is at 4:30 on your home for FSU football. News Radio 92.3.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Take advantage of the free document shredding event Saturday morning from 8 till 11 at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. Get more at newsradio923.com. The License to Thrill charity date auction is Saturday evening at the Hilton Pensacola Beach. Proceeds benefit Valerie's House and A Hope of Milton. More info at crewofpensacolabells.com. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
It's 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. I feel like I've done the most 1980s thing ever right now. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Well,
John.
You have, but good memories. All right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still rolling accident-free right now. Even I-10, I-110 are rolling delay-free, even through the construction zones 90-98. In Avalon Boulevard, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Sean. Diddy Combs will learn his punishment today in a courtroom in Manhattan. This is after being found guilty on two prostitution-related charges. Michael Bachner's a defense attorney. He says the sentencing will center around abuse.
So how the court considers that type of violence, and that was impacted on these people, is going to be an interesting thing for the court to see. But this is going to be, I think, the sentencing is going to take most of the day.
And prosecutors calling for Combs to get at least 11 years in prison. Defense lawyers think the maximum he should get would be about 14 months.
Yeah, that would put him, I think, 1 month more in detention because he's already served 13, I think, is right. So
right, yeah. A judge rejecting an asylum request for Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He ruled that Abrego Garcia cannot be granted asylum in the U.S. And the Swifties are having a good day, Andrew. They are excited about the release of her studio album, The Life of a Showgirl, which dropped at midnight.
I'm probably going to regret making this choice. Here goes. NBC had gone to some street party album release themed thing that had fans out the door, of course.
A midnight release party?
Yeah, I don't. It looked like daylight, but people were, I don't know. I didn't get too much in the details. But they did share some of the comments by the adoring fans.
Like a fever dream. It feels like a fever dream. I haven't slept in like 3 weeks, I feel like.
Everything going on in my brain right now is like, Taylor Swift, Easter egg, new lyrics.
Could this be another record-breaking era for Taylor Swift?
100%. I can see that happening already.
Yep. Me too. By the way, I haven't slept in 2 weeks because I've been back and forth between fever dream, Easter egg, album drop, color
theme. I was worried about you. Yeah. I really was.
Yeah.
And now I can really see it in your eyes.
But now that I have also not downloaded the album yet, I Did I just out
did
myself as a non?
Oh, I thought you did.
You know, I was having this conversation with my wife yesterday down our walk. We were talking about, by the way, David, you're free to go work on other matters. I know you have other stuff you got to work on, but sorry. Thank you for the update. We were talking about, I'm happy for her. You know, happy for her getting engaged. Travis Kelce, they seem happy, you know, moving towards marriage. That's a good thing, especially in this culture, simply having people that participate in the traditional process of, you know, getting married and having kids. You know, he's an outstanding tight end. She's an outstanding performer, obviously. And but my question was, and she has the same question, is so all of her songs have been about failed relationships. Well, not all, but I mean, a lot of her themes have been about failed relationships, right? So if this one works, is that the end? Can I mean, will she sing a song about, you know, happy marriage, changing diapers, being a dude?
You know what? She might.
Could she?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see it. It'd be kind of cool if she did.
And the Swifties will just take whatever she puts out there.
Right. And as they age and start to have families, the music then she's too, singing music that resonates with them plus a couple of years. So, I mean, I don't know. Will the same level of appeal be there for happiness as to some degree it's been there for unhappiness in the past? I don't know. But I will say this. Fans are loyal. I mean, we're talking... For those of you who know, you know. And for those of you who don't know, I know two people, dear friends, who are massive Swifties. I mean, I know one. She's already listened to it four times. Seriously, already this morning. She already listened to it four times. And I'm sure my other friend, although I have not talked with her, she's probably done that too. Okay. These folks spend, you know, they look a little bit embarrassed when you ask them how much money they spent to go see Taylor Swift. But the number does not have just two zeros behind it. The number always has three zeros behind it. It's thousands, plural, of dollars spent going to see Taylor Swift in person in concert. I mean, it's a religious experience for her fans. So just kind of just to be aware, that's where it is.